see the King. No more cry.
Lord a hand, and you can have a seat. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Thank you for being online with us there, whether you're on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. Thank you there. Be sure to heart, share, like, subscribe, do all those things, follow us. This helps to get the word out even more to your circle of friends and even beyond. So help us to do that. And then welcome to those who are listening on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us this morning. Be sure you got one of our bulletins as you came in this morning. If you didn't, they're at the doors. They're also in the windowsills around. So be sure to grab one of those. If you're at home, you can go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin there. So be sure to get that downloaded under that same info tab. You can download the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsill to my right. There's one for ages 3 and up and one for ages 7 and up. So go to highlandbaptistchurch.com there and download that. And also you've got the prayer list under that info tab, so be sure to take the time to get that downloaded. If you're a guest with us this morning, want to encourage you especially to get one of the guest bags or at the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave this morning. It's just a gift that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. It's got some information about our church. It's got some gifts that we want to share with you. So thank you for being here with us this morning. Looking forward to a wonderful worship service this morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Mother's Day. And if you would, stand with us and let's praise the Lord as we sing My Faith Looks Up to Thee, hymn 416, and join the choir with us. Bam.
My faith looks up. Yeah.
You'll notice in your bulletins, our missionary moment of the week is about Jacob and Julie Stanley, and you'll notice the little asterisk beside their name. That is not their real names, their given names. They are serving in the Asia Pacific Rim there, and where they are serving is a security issue place. And so, but we do have their story that we want to encourage you to read this in your bulletin and to be praying for them, praying that God's work will be done in and through their work, seeking to reach the Asian Pacific Rim peoples as you pray for them and other Southern Baptist missionaries who are taking the gospel to those sensitive and sometimes dangerous places in the world, going places that we could maybe never go ourselves to share the gospel. We also want to encourage you to read the prayer request there from our missionaries from Moldova and to be praying for them. We have our goal to reach $7,000 for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We're at $41,14.50, so I want to encourage you to continue giving towards that. And ever so often, we are highlighting one of our ministries, our mission partners that we are supporting. And so we want to share with you about Life Choices Pregnancy Support Center this morning. And you're going to hear more about this, about how the baby bottle ministry works there. But you want to hear the testimony from one of the clients through that ministry there. And then you'll see some of the, after the video, you'll see some of the statistics from last year of what they were able to do. So prayerfully watch this video.
Hello, my name is Ashley Caulfield. I have been a client of Black Choices since about February of last year, and I just wanted to share some positive information with me and you that can maybe help you in your situation and maybe help you come into Black Choices and get some positive reinforcement. So, our first question I have is, how has Black Choices helped you? Me and my husband started coming here late February, and both of us have taken hearing through courses from the time I got pregnant to now, a year later. And through every season that we have been through, Black Choices have been helpful. We have gotten a lot of positive feedback from Black Choices, and we've learned a lot on parenting, on just our, handling our life situations, finances, and just anything that life throws in our direction. We always feel like we're prepared for it. A lot of it because we've taken lessons here and had people help us along the way. We're both very young, and it is incredibly important for us that we get the right guidance that we needed, and we've definitely found it here. Our next question is, how were lessons helpful to you in your situation? In our situation, we are both very young parents. My husband, he was very stumped on how he was supposed to parent a daughter, and that was something that he had trouble guiding through, and that really helped him find a way to be a very good father to our daughter. He definitely is. But for me, I came from a background. My biological mother was very heavy in drug abuse, and I found myself in a position where I needed to be a good, positive role model for my child, and I really didn't know where to start. So I found Life Choices, and from there I started taking classes and learning how to be a very positive role model for my daughter, and that's incredibly important to me. And it's just been wonderful. I really appreciate.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. I'm Rima Bell, and I'm a part of our missions ministry team here at Highland. We strive to encourage our people here to be mission-minded internationally in our country, in our great state of Tennessee, and locally here in Tullahoma and our surrounding counties. So today, on this Mother's Day, we want to encourage you to support the Life Choices Pregnancy and Family Resource Centers that are located here in Coffee County, in Franklin County, and Grundy County. And it's really very, very simple. All you have to do is take a baby bottle from the windowsills here in the sanctuary, or you will find them at both our carport and our foyer entrances. We just ask that you take the bottle with you today, that you collect change, cash, or a check, we'll take them all, from Mother's Day through June 15th, Father's Day. And on that day, we ask you to bring the baby bottles back here to the sanctuary. We'll have a special collection time and pray over these offerings as the bottles go to support these families in need. So remember this, your change can change lives. So take a bottle today. Thanks.
Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries and our ministry partners this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are and thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. Father, we pray and ask that you will just continue, Lord, to speak your truth into our hearts. Lord, convict us of sin, that we might repent of our sin, that our prayers would not be hindered before you. And Father, I just pray this morning that as you hear our prayers, we want to uplift our missionaries this morning that are serving the South Asia Pacific peoples. Father, we pray that you will watch over them, many of those missionaries who serve in secure areas around this world. And Father, I pray that you'll protect them, place a hedge about them. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless them, to let them know that they are not alone, that we are still here uplifting them in prayer, financially supporting them, as well as some who are able to go alongside of them. And so, Father, we just pray that your blessings will be upon them this morning. We want to pray, Lord, for Life Choices Pregnancy Support Center and ask God that that ministry will continue, Lord, to be such a wonderful blessing to so many. And, Father, we just pray for your will to be done in and through those lives of each one of those individuals. So, Father, we pray that the many who have been saved, thank you so much for that over this past year, as the many who have been ministered to and the gospel seed that's been planted in their hearts, may that come to fruition as those people come to faith in Christ. So Lord, bless us this morning as we come to worship you. We give our hearts, we give our lives to you, and we just ask, Lord, for your will to be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. We want to encourage you that you can do your giving in person with the envelopes that are in front of you in the pews. There are some at the doors also as you leave. You can just place that in the offering plate. You can also do that online by going to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side and click that Give Online tab. And encourage you to take the time to do that. We've got just a couple of other quick announcements that I wanted to share with you. We have a couple of things going on this summer with our Duck River Baptist Association. We have a mission trip to Calgary that's going to be coming up. There's two groups that are going to be going July the 19th through the 26th. I'll be on that group, and then there's a group going July 26th through August the 6th. We do need people to be praying for us, so if you'd be interested in being a prayer partner for that ministry, please see me after the service, and I'll be glad to get your name and get you some information about that. Some people have already been asking me this morning, because this week is primetimers, where do I sign up? Well, this week, as we said, is potluck, so you don't have to sign up. Just bring your favorite dish, bring your favorite dessert. 12 o'clock on Tuesday is when we'll have our meal over in the Ministry Center building, so I encourage you to come for that. Just bring those things with you, and we'll have a wonderful time of fellowship. Our Duck River Baptist Association also has a day of missions that's coming up. It's this Saturday, so I want to encourage you to be praying about being involved in that and however you would. If you're interested, see me after the service. Also, and I'll be glad to give you some more information about that. And then also, we've got our class of 2025 that's going to be graduating. We're going to be celebrating them next Sunday with graduation. And so if there, you see the names of those on the screen that we know and have identified, but if you know of any others, whether that's high school or college, that are members of our church or attend our church regular, please let myself, let Pastor Matt know, so that we can prepare for that, for the service for next Sunday. You know, this is Mother's Day, and we want to celebrate our mothers this morning. So if you're here as a mother this morning, would you please stand? Let's give them all a hand for all they do for us. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. We have
a special gift that we want to give to you after the service. Some of our youth are going to be at the doors with a tray to give that to you, so I want to encourage you to make sure you stop and pick that up. There will be some who may want to pick one up for someone who's not here, or maybe one of our shut-ins. Please feel free to do that also. So, Brother Mike.
Join us again as we continue praising the Lord by singing hymn 334, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Children's Church will be gathering over on the piano side during this next hymn. And if you would, please stand with us as we sing hymn 504, God Give Us Christian Homes. Christian homes.
Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke 21. I'm starting a new series here in Luke chapter 21. As I was looking back through some of my notes and looking at what would I want to preach, what would the Lord lead me to preach during this series now, after we have finished with our last series that we were looking at, with the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. And I prayed about it. I came down to two different places, Luke 21 and the book of Colossians. And I really wanted to preach the book of Colossians. And I prayed and I prayed about it, and the Lord kept saying, no, Luke 21. That's what I want you to preach through, the Olivet Discourse. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. We've covered some of this in some other passages in Matthew and Mark's Gospels some time back, but just felt the Lord leading me to bring this message to you this morning as we just look at the first four verses here. And you're going to wonder, how does this section of verses fit into the overall context of chapter 20 and the rest of chapter 21? And we're going to try to look at that this morning and understand it in its proper perspective. So let's stand as we read God's Word in honor of His Word. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 down through verse 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And He saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And He said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage this morning. We know Your Word is truth, and we know that the truth sets us free. And I pray that's indeed what would happen this morning for those, Lord, who are already believers, that this passage would set us free from sometimes the legalistic, ritualistic kind of views that we have sometimes on giving. Also, Lord, I pray that it will set those free who may be bound in sin, who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior and need to be set free, that they would trust by faith in the precious gift that Christ has given to us by His giving of His all on our behalf. So bless this passage this morning. May it speak truth into our hearts, and may You use it to transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So as we look at this passage, we do want to put this passage in its proper perspective. So remember that if you go back to chapter 20 and some of the passages before that, Jesus has sort of been doing battle, if you will, with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were a great burden and a source of misery to His heart. But here is this little widow woman who becomes a source of great blessing and a great encouragement to the Lord just before He goes to the cross at Calvary. As far as we know in this scene, Jesus never speaks any words to her, and she never spoke any words to Him. She probably never even knew that Jesus noticed her and noticed what she did. And yet what she did was so beautiful and so meaningful that Jesus memorialized her forever because of what she did in the pages of the Scriptures. She comes and she goes across the pages of our Bible. She's unnamed, she seems unnoticed, and yet she has her place in the Bible's Hall of Fame. She's become one of the best known characters in all of the life of Jesus. She's become one of the heroes, really, of all those unnamed and unnoticed saints of God. Just because they love Jesus, they continue to do the work of the Lord unselfishly, not looking for any notoriety. There's two lessons in this passage, and I want you to see those. One of them is her giving, and the other is the one that's so often less seen, and that's the religious people's not helping. So I want you to notice the contrast between this widow and the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus dealt with in the verses just before these. Now, these scribes and Pharisees, they were altogether different from this poor little widow woman. They were interested in wearing their long flowing robes of honor, and yet she is garbed in her widow's clothing. They were concerned to receive the great greetings and salutations in the marketplace, but probably very few people ever spoke to this little widow woman as she passed by. When they came to the synagogues and they went to the great social gatherings and the parties, they were the objects of honor and they were given the chief places. But this poor little widow woman was probably neglected when she went to those places. They were interested in all that they could get out of life. She was interested in what she could give in life. They received the condemnation of the Lord Jesus, and we see she receives the congratulations of our Lord Jesus. So as you look at this passage, I'm not so much interested in her as I am in Jesus. And I'm interested in learning from the Pharisees and the scribes more than we are really in learning from her. We are going to see some things from her, but I want you to see about the scribes and the Pharisees, and I want you to particularly see about Jesus. I want you to notice some observations about Jesus on the basis of this simple little story and some simple things that Jesus did. The first thing I want you to notice is where Jesus sat. Where Jesus sat. Look at verse 1 again. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. Now, that doesn't tell us much about where he sat. But if you go to the other Gospels, especially to Mark's Gospel, Mark gives us a little bit more than Luke does at this point about where Jesus sat. So you'll notice in Mark chapter 12 and verse 41, the Bible says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums." Now that verse in Mark tells us a few things. It tells us, first of all, Jesus is sitting in the temple. He's been active in the temple. He's been dealing with those scribes and Pharisees in the temple all day long. It is evidently at the close of the day, now Jesus is sitting in the temple. It's been a very turbulent day for him. Those scribes and those Pharisees had been fighting Jesus all day long. He'd been kind of, if you will, in a combat zone, and they were beginning to close in on Jesus. So it's been a difficult, hard day for him. What a tragedy this is. Here is Jesus, who is the fulfillment of everything that the temple was intended to indicate, and yet they fail to recognize his presence. Because think about it, one greater than the temple is sitting in the temple, and they don't even know it. I've often wondered if people don't come to houses of worship dedicated to the name of Jesus, and they're never recognized by others. Is it possible that people can come in and out of the doors of this building right here and never really make contact even with the Lord and never really come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's Jesus. He's sitting that day in the temple. Now, of course, we're told here that he's sitting opposite or over against the treasury. That just simply means that Jesus is in the place where people would bring their free will offerings. It's known as the place that that's at is in the court of the women, the women's court. Alongside of the inside walls of the women's court there were these collection boxes. There were 13 of them in all. They were called shofar boxes because the outward receptacle of those boxes were shaped like a trumpet. So the people would come and each box was labeled on it what the offering was for, and they would throw their offerings in those boxes and it would make all kind of noise. You ever been to the grocery store or one of those stores that has a coin change machine, or you've seen somebody who's doing that when you're there? That makes the awfulest, loudest racket, doesn't it? And you're like, please be quiet. I don't want anybody to pay attention to what I'm doing over here, changing my money into cash. It makes a lot of racket. Well, that's what would happen here is they threw their money into these trumpet-like boxes. It would make lots of noise because they wanted to be recognized for what they were doing. Think about this. It was the Passover time. And so the city of Jerusalem was filled with thousands of worshipers. Unquestionably, the people were giving tremendous amounts of money as they made their voluntary offerings in the temple, in the treasury. And it ought not to come as any surprise to us that Jesus is there at the place that the offering was taken. Would it surprise you today to know that Jesus is very interested in the matter of the collection of the offering? We probably don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. If we do, sometimes we pay more attention to how the offering is taken, whether we pass the plates or whether you bring it to the offering plates, or how much we give, or how little can I give and get away with it? Or does it get recorded so that I can make sure I get a tax break on it? You know, we pay more attention to those things than how we give and why we give. So notice here that Jesus is at the place where the offering is taken. He's very interested in what's going on. Now, if you remember over in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, there was an offering that was taken by the New Testament church, and there were two people there, a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and the scripture says that they lied. They lied to the Lord about what they gave. And the Holy Spirit, through Simon Peter, confronted them about their lying. And you remember what happened in that story? They fell down dead. Jesus Christ is present at the offering. He's very interested, very, very interested in how we give and why we give, and even in how much we give, as we see in this story. But the words gifts and offering here say a lot about the church. It says a lot about our faith in the Lord and our commitment to the things of God. And so here's Jesus. He's sitting on this occasion in the temple at the treasury, and the Bible says that he's watching people as they give. Here's the second observation, because not only do we see where Jesus sat, we see who Jesus saw. Notice again verse 1 and verse 2. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And then verse 2, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. So who did Jesus see on that day at the treasury? Well, in Mark's gospel, in Mark 12, and verse 41 and 42, he sat down opposite the treasury, watched the people putting the money into the offering box. Many rich people, it says, put in large sums, and then this poor widow that Luke tells us about also came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Now, obviously, he saw people. So when we ask, who did Jesus see? He saw people. He saw lots of people. He saw rich people. He saw poor people. He's watching people. Now, you'll notice in verse 41 of Mark's gospel, you see the word there, beheld. The word beheld indicates that Jesus is more than just an indifferent spectator. It doesn't mean, when it says here in Mark's in Luke's gospel that he watched, it doesn't mean that he's just seeing them physically with his eyes. I'm looking out at you and I can see you with my eyes. That's not all that it's meaning there in those verses. What it means is that Jesus Christ is carefully scrutinizing what the people are doing. He's looking at these people, and he's looking at their money, and he's looking at what they're doing. The Bible says he saw the wealthy, and he saw that they gave and put in large sums. Many rich people put in large sums. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't see Jesus condemn that at all. There's no condemnation given to those people who cast in their much. Those who have been blessed with large sums of money ought to give large sums of money. If God's blessed you to make a large salary, then you ought to give large gifts. If you ought to be faithful to the Lord in giving what you have. So whether you've got much or whether you've got little, give of what you have. You ought never to get to the point that you feel like you know better than God. It's not your integrity. It's not your genius that's made possible if you make money. Everything you have comes from God. And everything you get is given to you by God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says this, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." So think about that. Everything you have today, that job you have, that salary that you draw, everything you have comes as a blessing from the Lord. Now, over in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." So Jesus sees the wealthy as they're casting in their much. Many people have been blessed by God to make money, have been used of the Lord to use that money to help the work of the Lord. I mean, think about it. What would Christian schools be today without those who gave to build those buildings and to see things grow? Where would churches be if it hadn't been for the generosity of those in the past? That's what we're celebrating in our 75th anniversary, what God has done through those saints of the past and the history of the past, and even to send missionaries on the mission field and to do the work of the Lord. If God has blessed you, you ought to give. Giving is a very important ingredient in a believer's life. And when you learn to give, you learn to control your money and not let your money control you. You know, money can do more to you than it can do for you. Money can make you selfish in your heart. The human mind grows by taking it in, and the human heart grows by giving it out. And so the more we learn to give, the more we learn to be like Jesus. So here's Jesus watching the people, watching the money. He's watching the wealthy as they give much. But he's also watching this little widow woman who gives her two little coins, her widow's mite, as many of us know it as. She just slips it into the treasury. She quietly drops those little mites, and she nervously slips away. You ever seen a mite? I think I brought one here before and passed around for you to see. It's a very, very small, tiny coin. It is nothing compared to a quarter or even a nickel at that. They're just very small, insignificant coins. She just takes those two little coins and ping, ping. They make the silentness of sounds as she puts those in those trumpet-shaped offering boxes where everybody else has been making lots of noise. Think about it. Here are these wealthy people. They're casting in their much, and here comes this widow who drops in her little coins. Who's going to notice that? I'm sure the masses of people didn't notice. The priests probably didn't notice. They had their big eyes looking on the wealthy as they gave their gifts. If the priest did notice the gift, you could just imagine they looked down their noses at her. Two little mites, that's the bare minimum that the rabbis would even allow you to give. And so if they were tallying up the gifts for that day, I could assure you that those two mites would be right down there on the bottom of the list. So you could almost see those priests. Two little mites. What possible good could that do? Why doesn't she just get out of the way to let more rich people come and put their offerings in? Nobody seemed to notice this poor little woman. But there was someone who did notice that day. There were some eyes who caught what that little woman did. Jesus not only noticed what she did, he recognizes it in his words. Nothing that's done for Jesus is too little to be noticed by Jesus. In fact, we learn in the scriptures that Jesus said that you can't even give a cup of water in his name and not be rewarded because of it. Jesus sees the little things that most people never see. Jesus sees the little deeds that are done unselfishly in his name and for his glory. It was important to Jesus. It was important that this little woman, this little widow woman here, pass by the offering box that day and drop her two little coins in. The matter of giving is something not just dependent on having a lot of money. There are those people who don't have a lot materially to give, but it's very important to them that they give it. So not only did Jesus see the people and their money, he sees the people and their motives. Because remember, there's that little word in this passage that we may so often overlook, that word beheld or saw or watched. It says when he was sitting in the treasury, there he was looking, he was watching, he was seeing, he was beholding. That word means that Jesus wasn't so much interested in what they gave as in how they gave. So Jesus is seeing some things here that nobody else is seeing. We really ought to be not to be critical of anybody else. We don't know the hearts of other people. We really don't know what's going on inside a person's heart or the motives of the people, so we ought not to be too critical of people. Jesus was looking at the motive of the heart. Jesus Christ was concerned about why she did what she did. Now, there's a couple of things going on here with why she did what we did, what she did, and we're going to look at those things here in just a moment. But he's concerned about why you also do what you do as well. Over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about three of the most important religious things that a person could do in that day. One was giving, one was fasting, and one was praying. And in all three of those instances, Jesus made it clear that what mattered wasn't doing those things, but why you did those things. See, God cares about what your motive is. God is interested in why you give. Are you giving just so you can get the tax write-off? Are you giving just to make some money down the road? Is your motive because you love the Lord Jesus, you love His work, and you want His work to get done on this earth? That's what Jesus is looking for. Jesus sat in the treasury. He saw the people. He saw their money. He saw the people, and He saw their motives. But there's this third observation that I want to make in this passage. I want you to notice what Jesus said. What Jesus said. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. So here's Jesus. We know what He's seen. We know who He's seen. And now we're seeing what He says. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." Jesus wasn't just watching their actions, He was weighing their actions. The Bible says, by our actions we are weighed. Jesus calls His disciples over to Himself. You see that in Mark's gospel about this story. Mark chapter 12 and verse 42 says He called His disciples. He said unto them, "I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which cast into the treasury, for all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." And so He points out this little widow woman. You can almost see her as she goes walking out of the temple there. And Jesus recognizes this woman in a threefold way. He recognizes this woman because of the generosity of her gift. Now think about that. When you think about the gift she gave, all she gives is two coins that the Scripture says equals a penny. Now that certainly wasn't much on the human scales, was it? I mean, if you had taken all of the much that the wealth of the wealthy had given, and you were to put it on this side of the scales, and then you were to take that little widow woman's two little mites and put them on the other side of the scale, it certainly would not have measured up in human terms. But God weighs our gifts on a different set of scales. Jesus weighs our gifts on heavenly scales. He puts the wealthy gifts on this side, and He puts the little widow's gift on this side. And notice what Jesus says. He says, her gift weighs the most, more than all they gave. Think about that. How much will your gifts weigh when the angels weigh it in glory? What this dear little widow woman gave was absolutely priceless. It was a very generous gift. Now, I have the idea that she gave that, and she never knew that Jesus saw her. And one day when she died, she went to the gates of glory, and when she got to the gates of glory, she was met by Jesus, and she made the astounding discovery that Jesus had blessed her giving of those two mites. Jesus complimented the generosity of her gift. But notice secondly here, about her, that Jesus complimented the sacrifice of her gift. Not only the generosity, but the sacrifice of her gift. Jesus said that they have cast in out of their abundance, she has cast in out of her need, out of her want, in verse 4. In other words, they gave out of their plenty, she gave out of her poverty. Sacrifice for her cost her something. Now, so often this passage is misapplied. People have misused this passage of Scripture too many times. They probably, not one of us, has ever given what we would call here the widow's mite. Not a single one of us have probably given the widow's mite. Let me say to you, when this widow gave those two mites, the Bible says that she gave everything she had. She didn't have anything left. And let me ask you, have you ever given and you didn't have anything left? If you haven't, then you haven't given the widow's mite. She gave sacrificially. And what's important in the matter of giving is not how much you give, it's how much you have left. The gift that counts is the gift that costs. And so she just gave it all. She gave sacrificially. Jesus complimented her not only because she gave liberally, not only because she gave sacrificially, but thirdly, he complimented the totality of her gift. She said, or Jesus said, they have given out of their abundance. She has cast in her all, even all her living. She didn't even have one thin penny left to buy bread for the next day's meal. Those people who had given, they had plenty left to lean back on in their bank accounts and in their treasuries. They had plenty to look back for on a rainy day. She didn't have one thing left. And so from her perspective, she totally cast herself on the mercy of God and on the faithfulness of God. And when she drops her two little mites in, she's saying, I'm putting my life totally in the hands of God, the God of righteousness, and I'm totally leaning on Him completely on the steadfastness of the promises of God to take care of me. Here's what David had said in Psalm 37 and verse 25. He said, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. This little widow, she's just simply saying, it's up to you, God, to take care of whatever I need tomorrow. Understand, God will do it. God isn't interested in your money. He's interested in you. Notice another lesson, though, in this passage, and this is the message we so often miss from this scripture. Notice Jesus' condemnation of the religious people, what we might say even the church today. Because notice back in verse 1, what did verse 1 say? Jesus looked up. Now that assumes he was what? Looking down. So he's looking down, and then he looks up. At the end of this day of talking and teaching and confronting and interacting and conflict and an exhausting day in the midst of the massive crowds here, jostling and listening and interacting, that in itself, the sheer physical effort in itself would have left him exhausted. And so Mark says in his gospel, he was even sitting while he was looking down. This is his final message to the people. And in the context of chapter 20 and the rest of chapter 21, this is a message on judgment. He feels deeply the sinful rebellion and the unbelief of Israel, the leaders, and the people. Because remember, he shed tears when he walked into the city. Just go back to the previous chapters in chapter 19 and verse 41. In chapter 19 and verse 41, just a couple of, maybe a page or two back on your Bibles, it says, when he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. And he's still weeping over it. And preaching these words would have been heart-wrenching. All these 33 years, and this is how it ends, an exhausting emotional experience for him. It was over. No more calls to the kingdom. No more invitations to salvation. Only the pronunciation of judgment that would last 2,000 years and send generation after generation after generation of these chosen people into a godless eternity. The scribes and the Pharisees, you see, they were lovers of money. Because Jesus said, remember what he said about the temple? He said, you have turned my Father's house into a den of thieves, a den of robbers. They extorted money out of people for sacrifices and coin exchanges. And after those tragic words, the acknowledged end of salvation, hope for the nation, Jesus had come to his own, and his own had received him not. He must have been exhausted. He must have been spent. He must have been heartbroken. And so Mark says that he was sitting, his eyes looking down as he contemplates the religion of Judaism. And the fact that the temple where he sits, which he had earlier cleansed, was still so corrupt. No wonder he's looking down. And when he looks up and he sees all of this, he sees that poor, destitute widow woman, and she's a victim of the religious system that devours widows' houses. How do we know that? Go back to Luke 20, just the previous chapter, Luke 20, verse 45 to 47. This gives you your context. It says in verse 45, "And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, 'Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts.'" And then he says this in verse 47, "These people who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation." So here's this widow woman. She's destitute. She's got 2 cents left. Think about what Jesus calls the religious system in that day. It's a den of robbers, and they're stealing from the worst, the lowest, the most destitute, the worst off. And so Jesus lifts up his head after this weary day, having sat down probably for the first time. He's sitting there in the court of women. He's surrounded by these 13 trumpet offering boxes, and he begins observing how people are putting money into the treasury. It must have caused him immense pain here. They were giving their money under the assumption that they were doing something for God that was going to produce blessing for them. And he comments, many rich people were putting in large sums. They weren't being stingy. They had a lot and they gave a lot. That was the system. They were putting in literally large sums. The word is polo, which means much. The religious system demanded that. And then over against that picture is this widow woman who comes and she casts her 2 small copper coins, which amount to a penny. Notice, poor widow. The word is a word from which we get our English word penurious or destitute, basically. And then Jesus calls those disciples over to himself and says, "Truly, I tell you, this poor woman, widow, has put in more than all of them." Scripture is full of commands to care for the widows. So when you look at this story, there's another side to the coin here. The other lesson we're to learn about here is corrupt religion. Beware of the false shepherds, Jesus had said. Beware of the false teachers who take the last coins out of a widow's purse to fill their coffers on the pretense that that kind of giving is some path to blessing. Give me your last pennies and God will bless you with $1,000. You ever heard that kind of message before? Certainly. That's the prosperity gospel. Ultimately, this passage is in the context of judgment. And this whole section, Jesus is talking about what's coming. Judgment, judgment, judgment. That's what we're going to see in the rest of chapter 21. All those woes that he's going to pronounce on those leaders in the verses before and after, they are literally justified and validated by this one woman's act. She's poor, she's destitute. She's dumping the last 2 coins she has into this system under the promise that somehow it's the path to blessing. And that's why he goes on to say this in verse 6. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, as they've been looking around at the temple buildings and all of the structures and the system of religion there, he says, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." All this religious system, it's going to be gone. You're putting your trust in these buildings, he says it's going to be gone. Here's this woman. I think Jesus is warning He's warning us as the church today not to become a corrupt system of religion that will incur the judgment of God. No religion can purchase salvation or purchase blessing or buy healing or buy prosperity. Here's what we understand true religion is. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 27, and you see true good religion is this. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's what we ought to be doing as the church today. Not taking advantage of the widows. Understand this morning. If you're rich, or you have your last two coins with you this morning, God cares about you. The scripture says, "I seek not yours, but you." Jesus isn't as concerned with how you give or how much you give as he is with why we give. This poor little widow woman becomes the hero of the story that she didn't even know was being written. Jesus sums up why he was so captivated with this little woman who gave such a big gift. This poor widow has put in more than all of them. You're reminded there of how poor she was, how desperate she was. That word's poor and poverty there. The word poor describes somebody who's totally destitute, like a beggar. The word poverty means they're having nothing. She gave more than just money. Did you catch that? What did it say? She gave more than all of them, but then look at verse 4. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty did what? She put in all she had to live on. What it's literally saying there is she gave all of her, that word live there is the word bios in the Greek. What does that sound like? That's where we get our Latin and our English words biology. It talks about our life, our bodies. Literally, she gave all her life. You see, this lady wasn't just giving her money. She was giving herself. She wasn't just giving all she had. She was giving all that she was. And the reason why this woman could give all that money to God was because she had already given her all of her life to him. And so what really impressed Jesus wasn't just what she gave, but why she gave it. It wasn't just the amount that impressed Jesus, it was the attitude that impressed Jesus. She didn't do it flippantly. For the moment, she carefully thought this through. Even though the religious system was corrupt, she thought it through. She didn't say it out loud. She was making, though, a clear statement to God. Actions speak louder than words. And boy, did her actions ever speak loudly and clearly. Because when this woman gave everything she had, she was saying three things as we close. God, I look to you to provide my needs. God, I love you more than I love this money. God, I live for you and you alone. All of that was in contrast to those who gave much and the religious system that took advantage of widows. And this is where I want to ask two groups of people this morning to answer this question honestly. If you do give to the Lord's work, if you do practice generosity, if you're giving it all you've got, why do you do it? See, the IRS doesn't care why you give. They just want their money. The mortgage company doesn't care why you give. They just want their money. The credit card company doesn't care why you give. They want your money. But God does care why you give, because he doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants your heart. And so an even bigger question, frankly, to a bigger group of people is to those who don't give. Ask yourself this question: why don't you give? Now, before you may say, well, I can't afford to. If we're honest, we would have to say we can afford to give. We just don't want to lower our standards of living. We just don't want to live without this or that in my life. If you have enough to feed yourself and clothe yourself and put a roof over your head, and you have anything left over, but you don't give to God, then you've got more than this woman ever had. And in this case, we don't give, then it's the case that we don't give. We have to be honest enough to admit that it's either because we're not looking to God to provide our needs, or we don't love God
more than we love our money, or instead of living for Him, we're living for ourselves. All those things really mean this. What you're really saying is, it doesn't belong to Him, it belongs to me. So remember this, you're not going to be remembered by how much you made. You're not going to be remembered by how much you spent. You're not going to be remembered even by how much you saved. You're going to be remembered for how much you gave. This woman knew that Jesus saw what she gave. She never heard, she didn't know that. She never heard what Jesus said about what she gave. But I guarantee you, that second she walked into heaven, Jesus said, I saw what you did. I'm so glad you did what you did. Think about this. The greatest reason of why we should be giving is because we serve a generous God. He gave His only begotten Son so that you could have eternal life. You have one life to live. You're going to live it in one of two ways, as a generous person or a greedy person. You're going to go through, live your life selflessly, holding everything God has given you with an open hand, or you're going to live life selfishly, holding everything God has given to you with a closed fist. Real giving is giving all you have. And what is the greatest thing you have? You, your heart. That's what He wants from you this morning. Would you give that to Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love that's so amazing, so divine, that demands our life, our soul, our all. Lord, thank you for Jesus, who gave us the ultimate example in that He gave His all. Thank you for this woman that in the midst of a corrupt religious system that was taking advantage of widows, that's a warning for us not to go down that path. But Lord, to look, and when we see those widow women, or we see the orphans, that we're to be ministering to them and helping them, not laying more burden on them. Father, help us to realize that there's no amount of money we could ever give to buy our salvation. There's no amount of money we could ever give to gain your blessings. You've already given a free gift, the greatest blessing that we could ever have. And that's to trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. So this morning, if there are those who have never done that, I pray, God, they would call out to you and they would say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried in the tomb, and arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my life and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Father, if someone prays something like that in their hearts and they pray it with all sincerity and they mean that, Lord, they're trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I pray they would come to publicly profess that faith in Christ this morning, to follow through with believer's baptism. But Lord, I would dare say there are many of us here as believers, as professed believers with our mouths at least. There are some, Lord, who our hearts are far from you, just like there were in the religious system of Jesus' day. And Father, I pray that if we realize that that's where we are, may we come to the place of repentance, to come back to where we need to be, to humble our hearts before we have to be humbled. Father, I pray for others, Lord, who are believers, who maybe they've not given their all. They've been holding back some. Father, I pray before judgment comes upon us for not being truthful and honest with you, Father, I pray we would give our all, our hearts, our lives, our time, our talents, our treasures to you. And Father, I pray your blessings upon us this morning, and whatever decisions need to be made, may you be glorified, may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand? Would you sing the invitation? The Savior is waiting. Would you come this morning as the Lord lays on your heart?
The Savior is waiting. What is your answer?
come and share some announcements. Moms, don't forget to get your gifts. Our youth are going to be at the doors with the trays there to give those to you, so be sure to grab one of those.
I just wanted to say how awesome it is to see Christopher back in church with us today. We love you and miss you, and we are so happy to meet your bride-to-be, Miss Rachel. And we hope that you feel the love from us on the table out in front, and the cake in your daddy's office, and so my mom also wants to say you're still lucky that it's still in full tact, because I left it at her house last night. So, but we just hope you feel the love from us and how much we love your family. And I just wanted to say a prayer for your family, for you and your family. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that has brought this sweet couple together. And as they pray for their life as husband and wife, we ask for your blessing over their journey. Fill their hearts with patience, kindness, and unwavering commitment. And may their marriage be a reflection of your love, steadfast, so joyful and strong. Surround them with support, guide them with wisdom, and let their love continue to grow each day. Lord, I just pray for your blessings over them. Amen. And they're going to stand here at the front. I checked with them to make sure it was okay, so you can give them their well wishes and best wishes.
And then they're going to do a duet, Christopher and Pastor Jim, right? That plan? on May 24th, I know we have our missions association day on the 17th or the 18th, 17th, right? But if you aren't available that day, you would like to still help out with a project. On May 24th, the youth have been asked to help do some work over at the Senior Citizen Center. And so there's some yard work and some painting and some weed killing and stuff to do. So if you would like to help out with that, please let me know. We plan to start hopefully around 8:30, but I'm going to talk with the director and get some more information on what all she'd want us to do. Also, just want to thank you again for those who helped out yesterday with the youth room. Jason Ferris said he could teach a monkey how to lay floor, and he taught about 12 to 15 monkeys. So we thank you, Jason Ferris, for all your help in that. But yeah, check it out and see. It's coming along slowly but surely, but we're almost there. And so we got a few more things that we got to get to finish up. But again, thank y'all so much for y'all support in that.
Got a few to remember. Kay Fox is having surgery on May 20th. And then Doug Ridings is having surgery on May 14th to put some stents in. Ken Tatum is home. He's having home health come in this week. And then he'll start chemo on Friday. So remember them. Still be in prayer for Terry Zona. That's Jamie's brother. And the music search committee will meet at the piano after church. And then you're all invited for a graduation party for Millie and Brianna on May 18th from 2 to 4 in the fellowship hall at Highland Baptist. That's next Sunday for them. So that's it, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. Brother Jim, we want you to be with all on the prayer request. Be with the graduates that are going to graduate next week. Be with Christopher and Rachel as they're going on this journey of life together. Please forgive us where we fail you. In your name I pray. Amen.